Are you putting too much emphasis on new technology instead of the people that make it happen? Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
Call it reform, call it tinkering around the edges, whatever you call it, Congress is always making adjustments to the rules around federal procurement. Often the updates are in response to complaints from either the government or from industry. Fiscal 2019 will be no exception. For a roundup of the changes you need to pay attention to, Joseph Petrillo, procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. And Joe, let's start with some of the FAR amendments that Congress is calling for. This is this is something significant when you have to change the FAR.
Yes, it is. And frankly, most of these things will end up being implemented either in the Federal Acquisition Regulation, the FAR, or the DoD FAR supplement. But this one, I think, has wide-ranging implications. There have been complaints about the inappropriate use of low-priced, technically acceptable evaluation criteria. So basically, it's almost as if you have a low-bid situation with an IFB. The difference being, of course, that the government hasn't specified everything to the nth degree. That's done in the proposals of the offerors. But if that proposal is acceptable, then it wins if it has the lowest evaluated price. Congress doesn't want this used so frequently, if at all, in three contexts: professional services, personal protective equipment, or knowledge-based training or logistics services for contingency or overseas operations. In those three areas, they've made it harder to use LPTA evaluation criteria and are clearly expressing some of the dissatisfaction, especially with industry, in terms of the use of that evaluation method and the results it's obtained.
Industry has been upset with the widespread use of LPTA for quite a while, so now it's pretty much boxed in, at least. And also, commercial items, that term has been revamped for 2019, and this is a recommendation from the famed Section 809 panel.
Right. This was an 809 panel recommendation. There are two parts of it. One, I think, is more a change of form than substance. We're no longer going to talk about commercial items because that term embraced both products and services. Instead, there's a separate definition for commercial product and for commercial service. But if you look at the definitions, they haven't really changed from substantively from what we have right now. So things that were commercial services or commercial goods, products rather, will continue to be under the new definition. It's just going to make it cleaner to write the new regulations and in certain contexts to differentiate between products and services for things that would apply to one but not the other.
And another one you've unearthed is the FAR Council has to revisit decisions not to exempt commercial products and services from certain laws and regulations. What's going on there?
Well, this is something of a shot across the bow by Congress. They don't want to sit there and write up a list of laws and regulations that aren't going to apply to commercial products and services. But they're getting complaints that there are too many of these. And so they're telling the FAR Council in the next year, revisit this topic and, you know, think about making some changes. So I think what the Congress wants is pretty clear. They want some action on this, and we'll see what the FAR Council does. And this has a one-year fuse on it, so presumably we'll know relatively soon.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, procurement attorney at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. Let's talk about the micro-purchase threshold for DOD. There's been some change there, which probably will have a big impact also.
It'll have some impact on small purchases because micro-purchases do not have to have flow-down clauses with a very minor exception for provisions in commercial terms and conditions that are inconsistent with legal requirements, especially appropriation laws. The requirement to have those flow-down clauses is going to change as the micro-purchase threshold is lifted. And this has been something that's been done in fits and starts. We started out with 2,500 and went to 3,000. Then ultimately, The civilian agencies had a $10,000 threshold, and now this just brings DOD up to the same $10,000 threshold. It hasn't found its way into the regulations yet. The FAR Council has authorized the civilian agencies to issue deviations, so we'll see what DOD does. They may issue a deviation that's DOD-wide to allow use of the higher threshold immediately.
But if you're selling small items, commercial items, computers, printers, I don't know, whatever it might be, then that $10,000 ceiling for micro purchases makes your job a lot easier.
Sure, especially if this is the sort of thing where you're not selling in large quantities and you're exceeding the $10,000 amount.
And also, there is new language for North Korea, China, Russia, Iran, products from those countries. Not that we were buying all that much, I can imagine, in the first place from North Korea, but certainly China, likely Russia, and who knows about Iran?
Yeah, the items that are covered by this are samarium cobalt or neodymium iron boron magnets, or certain tungsten materials, specifically metal power or heavy alloy. They can't be bought from the four countries you mentioned.
Yeah, those are strategic minerals, and I think they're not widely available necessarily in the United States as ore.
Well, and barring purchases from those countries encourages the development of sources in other countries and domestically.
Okay, well, I guess the magnets on my refrigerator are okay for the time being, right?
I guess so.
And can you update us, or what's the final disposition of Huawei and ZTE Corporation, the Chinese tech firms that the Trump administration and Congress were going back and forth on, it seems like, over the past year? What is the final ruling, and what can agencies do with respect to products from those companies now?
Well, there's a ban on the purchase of a certain telecommunications and video surveillance equipment. Now, there is a waiver process, but I would expect that for that to be invoked, it would have to be a very good reason. And it is unusual to target specific companies, but there are concerns there. And as we've discussed in other contexts, there's growing concern about purchasing, especially information technology equipment, from countries where that purchase can lead to an insecurity of data and a loss of control over where that data goes.
Yeah, because if you're having video surveillance, that's all done over internet protocol nowadays, and often wirelessly, which means the signals can be sniffed and interloped by just about anybody. And if those companies are from China, which we don't trust, then I guess that's the basis of all this in the first place, which I don't think often gets realized or reported that much.
I think you're right. And it is a concern. And this is just one aspect of the vulnerabilities we face as we become increasingly reliant and properly so on the internet and on connected devices.
Anything new in bid protests coming for 2019?
Well, a number of proposals for changing the bid protest process did not make it into the statute, but two did. One is that DOD needs to set up an expedited bid protest process when the contract is worth less than $100,000. There aren't a lot of those, I'm pretty sure, but when there are some contracts in that range, Congress wants them handled quickly by DOD. In addition, DOD has to conduct a targeted study of procurements that are protested both to GAO and to the Court of Federal Claims. And there aren't many of those either, but I'm sure it's vexing to the agency to win a protest at GAO and then have to face a protest of the same acquisition at the Court of Federal Claims. And DOD is going to report back on that to Congress, and we'll see what they do.
All right, so lots of little changes in procurement, nothing fundamentally reforming things, but probably enough changes that marketers, sellers, contractors need to pay attention.
Well, I think that's right. In the past, it's taken years to get these changes in the Authorization Act put into law, but that process has speeded up. And so we'll probably be seeing some of these come through and get implemented more quickly than we have in the past.
Joseph Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Thanks so much for that roundup.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.